Your support is important to Living on Earth. Donate today by pressing the donate link on the left of this page. Every bit helps. And thanks.
25 years ago, it was believed there were just 7 McGuire daisy plants in the world, and they were only found in 3 counties in southern Utah. But now, thanks to some creative conservation efforts, the dime-sized daisy, a member of the sunflower family, faces a brighter future. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has just taken the plant off of the endangered species list. Tony Freitas is conservation co-chair of the Utah Native Plant Society. Good news, huh, Mr. Freitas?
Well, it is good news, and it shows, I think, that the Endangered Species Act does take new information into account, and decisions are made accordingly, and things that are no longer eligible to be listed should be taken off the act when they're found to be more abundant than was originally thought.
What does it look like?
If you think of a typical composite or a daisy-type flower, it has white ray flowers, it has a yellow center with some other coloration, and it's a low plant, it's not a really tall plant, and it has some typical erigeron or daisy-like characteristics.
So it's one of those she-loves-me-not daisies?
Well, we would hope people would not pick those rays, but it's a little different in terms of how its flower is shaped and what it looks like. But you could think of it that way.
Mr. Freitas, do you know who McGuire was? McGuire Daisy is the name.
Yes. So
who's McGuire?
It was named for Bassett McGuire, who was a well-respected botany professor from Utah State University. Whether it was named in his honor because of all of his botanical contribution to Utah, which was great, or whether it was because he actually did collect it and it was named for that reason, I'm not certain that that's who it was named in honor of.
Well, what happened to the McGuire daisy? What was the threat?
The main threats there have been mining. It grows in cliffs. It also can grow, though, out on more exposed areas, and so there's been some threat to the cattle grazing. Part of it was that its ecology wasn't really understood initially, and this is pretty much a typical story for something that's as rare as this, that until people get out and look at it, and there's kind of a catch-22 there because people aren't going to go out and look for it sometimes until it has some kind of a status. And at first, it wasn't realized that where it grew exactly, and I think once they figured out more what kinds of habitat it truly grew in, that's when they started to find more of them.
So now we have how many of these daisy plants?
Now it's thought that there are over 160,000 plants occurring in some 10 different populations that are more or less contiguous to one another, and so they've been calling some of those metapopulations. So the numbers have greatly risen, and those numbers are kind of, if someone were to say, let's list this species, and it has 160,000 numbers, that, if they all occurred in the same, say, a couple of acres or a few miles, you might still want to list that because its habitat would be so still possibly imperiled by some, say, natural catastrophe. But with that kind of number and given the number of occurrences, that would probably, you know, species in that condition today would not get on the Endangered Species Act, and so it's appropriate to review that information and say, hey, this should probably be delisted.
So it's on the road to recovery.
Well, it should come off the Endangered Species Act because it now is known to have had a much larger occurrence than was thought. But it has always had probably that number of plants. It's very difficult to know sometimes how many plants there are in a given area because plants can fluctuate tremendously from year to year in terms of whether they even flower. We've had years of drought in the West, for example, in the last 10 years, where people have gone out to look for plants and they're not flowering or they can't find them very easily. And then you go out another year and you can find more. And so it'd be very difficult to determine whether a plant had become extinct for that very reason. So it has recovered only in the sense that we have additional information to indicate that it should come off the Endangered Species Act.
So you're saying there weren't 7 McGuire daisies back then and we just didn't know where these other ones were?
Exactly.
So we just found these things.
Correct. The argument is that the Endangered Species Act gave this species some attention, which led to a separate group finding more. But it was difficult, and it took many years of work. And so based on the best available information, we thought there were fewer, and now we know that there are a lot more.
So this is not the success story we might have thought.
Well, it's a story that has a happy ending, but it's not. To say that it has recovered only is, like I said, to indicate that we have more information to indicate that it actually wasn't as rare as we thought it was, and that is not an uncommon story.
Are there other plants that this might apply to in Utah?
Probably in every case. I mean, when everything is listed, usually the numbers always increase by some amount. But agencies don't have the resources, and botanists typically get hired based on the status of things, and that's where we're in this catch-22, where we need a candidate species program or a sub-tier program that can identify things that then do get some attention so that we can determine if they're truly worthy of listing.
Well, Mr. Freitas, thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Tony Freitas is conservation co-chair of the Utah Native Plant Society. Just ahead, how are you going to keep them down on the farm after they've gone extinct? For an answer, stay tuned to Living on Earth.
Support for the Environmental Health Desk at Living on Earth comes from the Cedar Tree Foundation. Support also comes from the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Fund for coverage of population and the environment, and from Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.